Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, February 27th edition of Byers & Company. Josh Tanner, candidate for county clerk in the studios with us today, plus Sue Powell stops by from the Decatur Area Arts Council. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Tuesday. I'm seriously waiting for my first response on one redeeming quality of video games. And is there anything, I know we're talking about the young kids, but is there anything sadder than people our age that are video gamers?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how pathetic is that?
Yeah.
Am I being judgmental?
No, I don't think so.
They wear like Crocs or you know, cargo shorts.
You stereotyper, you. I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are past the age of 40, like, is that a fair line to draw? I mean, if you're 40 plus and you're spending any amount of time on a gaming console, I really think you need to reassess and sort of evaluate your life. Am I way off the mark here?
No, you're really not.
I have played with the guys. I mean, my boys.
Okay.
You know, I mean, done a little.
That's one
thing. A little Mario Kart racing,
but that's a family activity.
But I don't sit down. I don't go home and fire up the Wii or the PlayStation. And
how many people do you think do though?
Oh,
wasn't President Obama a fan?
Hmm.
I want to say he had...
I can't imagine he had time to spend on video games.
I read that somewhere. Maybe that was
see that sitting in the Oval Office.
Okay, so Trump watches 23 hours of TV.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like either one
playing
of them
a little NBA 2K ducked
it
or
with
whatever
that.
It is.
I'm just saying, I think there's something weird if you're of a certain right. age and you are still
it's
playing video games. That's
a
all I'm
different.
Saying.
Yep.
All right. Although I'd rather play video games than talk politics today. And that's just sort of the way that is because we're all exhausted, right? We know this from USA Today.
Or be on Facebook, right?
Yeah. James Dean, we're going to talk about here in a little bit.
Okay.
And for all of you under the age of 40, he was an actor who died at the age of 24, did three films.
Right.
And his jacket from Rebel Without a Cause is going up on auction, expected to fetch $600,000 for an item of clothing. And the funny thing is, every time you see these movie stars and the clothes they wear, they're tiny people. You got to go see this picture of this jacket. It looks like it was made for Little Man 8 years ago, right?
I'll look it up.
We were out in Seattle one time at the EMP, which is a great museum, and they had the costume that was an Avatar. What was that actor's name? Sam Worthington?
Sam something.
From Australia.
Yeah.
Kind of a studly guy. Well, he played Mad Max.
Yeah.
Right? And this costume that he wore, it was like the digital costume, which they created the Avatar character with. It looked like a 9-year-old. I mean, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, like.
It's like in Hollywood, your superheroes are like 5'4". I mean, it is absolutely amazing.
He was a tiny, tiny man.
All right, look at the jacket. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Josh Tanner joins us. We don't want to talk politics, but local offices are important. And I don't know what you're getting out there as you're sort of, you know, meeting people and talking to people. But there is just a cynicism or in and around politics. Is that translating to a local level or are people more engaged?
No, I think it does. I mean, I think people just don't really want to talk about politics right now.
Yeah.
They don't mind talking about local offices. They do make a distinction between the two. But
do they? I hope so.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, because what you do if elected, you know, is going to impact people's day-to-day lives.
Well, they see us out and about. I mean, you probably aren't going to meet the president. And so, you know, they see us. We're people that interact with them on a daily basis. So, yeah, I think they make a distinction. But people really don't have much of an appetite for politics.
No, they really don't. All right. Well, you're the Macon County Supervisor of Assessments.
Yes.
And you want to be the Macon County Clerk.
Yes.
You got to start with most people don't have any idea what either one of those do, right? So let's start with your current position. What is it that you do as the Macon County Supervisor of Assessments?
So Supervisor of Assessments, we handle property tax. So when people come in to file for their exemptions or they want to file to appeal their taxes, they do it in my office. We take all of the assessments from the township assessors, which is another local position. They turn their books into us. We publish them in the newspaper. And then that begins the appeal process where people can come in and appeal their taxes.
So who decides what taxes are? I mean, I know this was in the news a lot several years ago, you know, when we had a Walgreens here valued at this and then a Walgreens over here that you would think would have been a higher value was less. Who decides that?
The township is what where it all begins. So okay. The township assessor sets the value. My office is directed to review those assessments. But we don't really have that much staff, so we can't review each one individually. We run some statistical analysis on it to determine if there's anything that seems, you know, not correct. But essentially, if a person, a taxpayer, wants to appeal their taxes, they have to appeal to the Board of Review, and that process starts in my office where they would fill out the paperwork.
Okay, what's a homestead exemption?
So if you own your home and you live in it, you would be eligible for the homestead exemption. So the way a tax bill is calculated is you have your assessed value, which is a third of the market value, mm-hmm. and then they subtract all of your exemptions off of that, homestead exemptions, and then that becomes your taxable value. And then your taxable value is multiplied by the tax rate, and that's how you get your tax rate.
Okay, I want you to imagine the sound of eyeballs rolling in the back of heads, because we've just combined politics and math, which is like, you know, the third and fourth rail here this morning. But you have to know all of this stuff. I mean, this is what's important. Now, Macon County Clerk, we've only had like three clerks in the last like 60 years. It's crazy, 90. Right? 90 years. Yeah. Okay, even more. What made you decide to run for this office when you knew that Steve Beam was going to step down?
Well, Steve and I worked together pretty well on tax extension, which is coming up with that tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one job of the county clerk. You know, I've been working election night for the last 6 or 7 years, tabulating the votes. So when he decided to retire, I felt it was important that someone be able to take over and be able to begin working day one. You know, December 1st of this year is when, you know, Steve will be done and the new person will take over. And you have an election that spring and tax extension right after that. There's not any downtime. There's not any time where you just kind of get on the job training. You really have to start day one working.
All right, let's go back into your background. You served in the United States military. You went to the Air Force. You were in Korea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the Olympics? How long were you there in Korea?
95 to 96, so a year.
Yeah.
Lot's changed. That's a long time ago, 20 years. It was kind of nostalgic. I mean, I did watch some of the Olympics. Some of the sites and some of the places that they talk about were familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting place. I mean, I'm sure a lot has changed in 20 years. But
Probably not in North Korea, but hopefully in South Korea. All right, so you live in Mount Zion. You're involved in a lot of things that happen in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing when you go out and you talk to people? Are you meeting them for the first time as a candidate? This is a little different. You know, you go fundraisers or knocking on doors, whatever you do. Are people paying attention to local government? I mean, recently, last week, it was published that you know, Illinois ranks 46th in the most taxed states of the 50 United States of America. And unfortunately, the local people get a lot of flack for that because, as you said, you don't bump into your congressman at Kroger. You know, you run into the people who are locally elected. What are people telling you?
You know, a lot of people, when they find out I'm running for county clerk, they are interested in the election part. I mean, that's where a lot of the focus seems to go to. Election security is a question I get a lot. You know, they hear a lot in the news about, you know, Russians and hacking.
Isn't it crazy? I still want a paper ballot. And I am not a Luddite, you know, at all. Yeah. And I realize we've given up all of our privacy for convenience, and we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little, you know, I'm old enough to have a concern about that. The millennials have just given it away, and they don't even care. But when I go to an election day and I vote, you know, in primaries and general elections, even if, you know, it's stuff on the ballot that I don't necessarily care about, I feel like I'm required to do that as a citizen. I still want that paper ballot. Is that weird?
No, a lot of people do. And, you know, the new electronic machines, even if you're voting electronically, the new machines that we purchased produce a paper ballot that you can review before you turn it in.
Yeah.
So the old machines, you know, it was rolled up in the machine, but the new one, it prints out.
I know, but I just like the little filling in of that circle.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
And here's my thing. I'm all for technology if it actually improves something.
Right.
But if this has worked forever, why do we need all the new stuff?
The electronic machines are really handicap accessible. That's their purpose, is for those people who need assistance through either vision or hearing.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's like one machine in the corner, right, and you can do that,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But why change the... I mean, it just seems like constantly somebody's trying to... I can't imagine. It's worked forever. Why not just keep what... Instead of like buying new equipment and the new this and chasing this new shiny thing,
right,
why not just keep a paper ballot?
One thing, it does speed the tabulating at the end of the night.
If it's accurate.
If it's accurate, yeah. And you know, there is the paper ballot is held in reserve, so mm-hmm, you can always go back and review those. And after every election, there's like a retabulation, so they retest so many of them.
But would that picture of that guy in Florida looking in with that bug-eyed at that pregnant Chad thing,
right,
if he's looking at a screen, that's not even a great photo.
Yeah. A lot of it is mandated, and that's the other thing people don't always understand is local officials, there's not a lot of latitude.
No,
for
the
us.
State will tell you have to do this,
exactly,
and whether you have the budget for it or not, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what I also don't understand, and this is my one Amish moment on this, is like paper ballots, and why can't we just show up on election day? I mean, good God, can we give anybody any more opportunity to vote and still only have 10% of the population show up and do it?
Yeah, you will find that I think a lot of county clerks do not like a lot of this extended voting. It's hard on your staff. It's expensive. But the legislature likes it. They must feel that there's some kind of advantage in that.
Jeff, what's the latest on the early voting in the primary? I know we just got an email from Steve Bean yesterday, maybe?
Yes, sir. We got an email from Macon County Clerk Steve Bean yesterday. I believe we are over 500.
Okay.
Now.
That makes that sound like some gigantic number. You know the office hours put in to doing all that for 500 people?
Right.
Like those 500 people can't show up on election day.
Right. Yeah, and the weekends are rough, too, starting coming up here in March. They'll be open Saturday and Sunday. That's all mandated by state statute. It's a lot of overtime, and, it gets hard. The staff gets wore out. I mean, this is, a lot of people think, an election's one day. Well, not for the staff, it's not. It's 30, 40 days that you're working. And you're right, it is a small number of people that turn up. It has same-day registration has solved some of the issues with people feeling like they didn't,
right,
get it the opportunity to vote.
Let me ask you, I had a question here from Robert that he was looking at Sangamon County versus Macon County. Do we have high property taxes overall in Macon County, higher than our sort of sister cities around us?
Well, part of the problem is, we have a shrinking tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to spread the same bill. I mean, that's what a lot of people don't understand about property tax. It's a zero-sum game, meaning, the bill is the bill, and someone has to pay it. And so when we have a shrinking tax base, you're spreading the tax bill out over a smaller number of people. And as we shrink, it just gets smaller and smaller.
I know, but then there's people who argue, and tell me, mm-hmm, why this is wrong. I hear this often. Well, if you've got fewer people, you need fewer services, so why doesn't it go down as well as the population goes down?
Yeah, I mean, the infrastructure doesn't really change. Once it's in place, it's in place. Taxing bodies... Manpower, like you've said before, manpower is their biggest bill. And so in order to reduce, the tax levy, you have to reduce manpower.
All right. You have an opponent on the primary ticket. So, mm-hmm, people are going to decide who on the Republican side goes to the general election in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, give me your elevator speech here. Why you and not her, as people will literally in less than 3 weeks go and decide who's going to be on the ballot in November.
I think it really comes down to experience. I have nearly a decade at the county. And different facets, working with the county clerk, working with tax extension. Prior to that, I was with the Department of Revenue and their property tax division. So, I have a lot of experience in local government, some in state government, dealing with the taxes, dealing with the elections. Vital records is another part of the county clerk's job. I've had some interface with that. Like I say, I think day one, the person who's elected really needs to be able to walk in there and start working. Mr. Bean has been an integral part of the office for so long. He is like another employee, and it's not just a job. You come in and you're just supervising people. The staff is going to be looking to you for answers day one.
All right. Any election judges, you know, the challenges that we look ahead, you know, because life has sort of changed and volunteerism as we know it has changed. I mean, your median age of election judges has got to be about like 109 years old. I mean, how are you going to get people to participate this in future elections as it gets harder and harder to find these folks?
You know, leaning towards the legislature to ask them to reduce the number of polling sites is something that...
I agree completely. Yeah. Why do we need one every six blocks?
With the technology.
And then why
do
you need all those people there?
Well, because it's mandated by statute.
I'm asking from a productive point of view, how many checkpoints do I have to go through to get my ballot?
Yeah, it really would help. And that's something, you know, as an assessor, I'm on the legislative committee for our association. So that's something I'm used to. That's something I'd like to get involved with the clerks is, you know, asking the legislator to help us out with, you know, reducing the number of polling places that we have and the number of people at those polling places so that we can, you know, with the technology, you don't need, you know, that many people anymore. And so it would be helpful to have fewer polling places with less people. And lean on the technology to.
All right, one last question. How much electioneering goes on here locally? I mean, we get, you know, we find out. Sue Scheer does it every year. Why don't we stop that?
Mr. Bean does send the sheriff's department out to, you know, to discourage people from doing that. Electioneering happens. I'm not sure how much of it is intentional. You know, it happens to me sometimes because people, you know, where I work, they come up and they want to talk, and you can't in the building, you know, so we have to leave the building to talk. So some of it is unintentional. I mean, you know, candidates don't want to be rude to people who want to talk about it. But some of it, you know, maybe, you know, for people who've been in politics a long time, they probably should know better. And, you know, like I say, Mr. Bean does send the sheriff's office out to discourage, you know, where you put your signs and, you know, handing out information and push them further away from the polling places.
Yeah, you can't stand outside the door and shake everybody's hand going in.
Exactly.
And I don't know how much time that needs to be explained. All right, Josh, how do people get a hold of your campaign if in the last remaining weeks here they want to donate or volunteer or find out more about you?
ElectJoshTanner.com, and then from there you can get my Facebook page or you can get my email address. I'm happy to talk about, you know, the county clerk's office or, you know, the supervisor of assessments office. Yeah, electjoshtanner.com.
All right, Josh, he's running for Macon County Clerk. He's on the GOP ticket. There is a primary. Two folks running for that office will have his running mate, Samantha Murray, opponent, on Thursday, March 1st. So we have both in this week. Podcast available if you missed any of it live. And we want people to get out. These elections, I know it's easy to get cynical about Springfield and Washington, and I am 1,000% with you. But what you elect these folks, whether it's mayor or county clerk, these folks, what they do each and every day impacts your life far greater than what the folks in Springfield or Washington do. And they're accessible. I'm sure you'd be willing to talk to anybody that wants to talk to you about this office.
No problem.
Josh, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, here's Lindsay Romano with your 3-day forecast.